Our nation celebrates its 241st birthday this week. The Declaration of Independence is the document adopted by the Second Continental Congress meeting at the Pennsylvania State House. We call it today Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on July 4, 1776. Representatives from all 13 colonies signed their names to the Declaration of Independence. They were unified as they stated, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that are among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." This has been called one of the best known sentences in the English language. God is included in the first and last paragraphs of this document, as well as in other places. Their signatures meant that they were pledging their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. We see these men as heroes who are willing to die and to fight for freedom. However, the King of England and his loyal subjects called them traitors. Our forefathers were leaving the familiar behind. They were establishing a new country and were willing to die for their country. Our founding fathers were living by faith. Since our country was established, millions of men and women have been willing to serve their country and have been willing to die for their country, and they've entered the United States military. They too are willing, or were willing, to leave the comforts of home to serve their God and their country. This morning, we're going to speak of Abraham, who was living by faith and was obedient to God. God said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you." When God speaks, what is your response? As humans, we are sinners. We often use excuses when God wants to make some changes in our life that we're just not willing to make. Or even skepticism, or cynicism, or sarcasm, or possibly even ridicule from others. No doubt many people, when they heard this story of Abraham, they thought he had lost his mind. God? Who spoke to you? God? How do you know it was God? That's ridiculous. And yet God has called each and every one of us, every Christian, on a journey, a lifelong trip to live in obedience to him. We are living by faith. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Many of you have come to Jesus. You said, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God raised him from the dead, that he died for my sins, that his blood was shed so that I could receive remission or forgiveness of my sins." And you responded, "Yes, I will give my life to Jesus. Yes, I will follow Jesus." And then you were baptized because that's what Jesus said to do. And even now you try to be obedient every day. God calls his people to live by faith into a journey that's unknown. It's unknown to Abram. It's unknown to our founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence. And it's unknown to you. And there are challenges in life. And the military, those who are still willing to give their life for their country, has challenges. And they meet these challenges, at least in their recruiting efforts, by different slogans that you've heard. And this is just a small sample of the various slogans through all the years. Be all that you can be. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. Aim high. Army strong. We are looking for a few good men and a few good women. Live the adventure. In this scripture passage, the command to Abram was very clear. Pack your suitcase. You're going to leave the familiar behind, leave some people behind and some things behind, and you're going to a new land that I will show you. You will be leaving your comfort zone. As Christians, we're commanded to leave our old life behind. The life you lived before you met Jesus. To leave behind the rebellion against God. To leave behind the failures as a result of sin. To learn from our mistakes of the past. It reminds me of a prayer which I think is so true. It goes like this. Dear Lord, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Amen. So true. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, the great faith chapter, talks about Abraham. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were their heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Not just looking at the present, but looking at the future as well. God said to Abram, I will make into you a great nation, and I will bless you. The future. Nobody knows the future but God. But by faith, Abram believed God. He was obedient to God, and he was living by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the great faith chapter, says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Abram knew God had the future in his hands. He was confident that God would bless him because that's what God said he would do. God said, I will make unto you a great nation. Now, this was impossible by human standards. A great nation, great in number. You see, because at age 75, he had no children. The New Testament tells us, but with God, nothing is impossible. Hebrews chapter 11 again, verses 11 through 12. Says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. God also made Abram great in influence. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. God would make him a great nation spiritually, for Israel knows of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our ancestors who created the Declaration of Independence knew also the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you know him too. God said to Abram, I will bless you. This was a promise. God always keeps his word. He does not forget. And Abram does not question the wisdom of God. He doesn't ask, how long will the journey be? Are we there yet? What would life be like? Will there be a famine in the land? Will I have plenty to eat? What about the climate? Will it be hot or cold? Will I live in the south where the climate is warmer in the winter? What about my health, God? What about my longevity? He didn't ask those questions. How long will my children live? Very real question, because so many children died before they became teenagers, and usually as infants and toddlers, up until the 20th century when modern medicine was able to prevent and still is able to prevent many deaths. He didn't ask, well, God, what types of job will I do? Most important, God, will I have a large salary? What about my job security? God, will I get a cost of living raise and promotion? Will I have generous job benefits or retirement, weeks of vacation? He asked none of those questions. What about my neighborhood? How large will my tent or house be? 3 or 4 bedrooms. 2 or more indoor bathrooms. That was something unheard of back in those days. He didn't ask what the speed limit would be. He didn't care. But the highway patrol cares. Will I have an accident? Will there be cheer wine? And to the non-Baptist, how fine is the wine? You know you're too far from home if there's no cheer wine, and you definitely have left your boundaries if there's no sweet tea. He didn't ask those questions. He didn't ask about freedoms, the type of government he would encounter. Are my neighbors registered as Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, or something else? How many storms would I encounter, God, with rain, thunder, and lightning? He didn't ask those questions. He took God at his word, and God did bless Abram. Genesis chapter 24, verses 34 and 35 states, "So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, manservants and maidservants, and camel and donkeys." And then it continues down to verse 53. "Then the servant brought out gold and silver, jewelry, and articles of clothing. He also gave costly gifts." God wants to bless you. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." John chapter 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." God wants to forgive you, wants you to have his peace. For Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." In John chapter 10. God said to Abram, "I will make your name great." God gave Abram a name change to Abraham, as we're told about that in Genesis chapter 17. Today, the name of Abram or Abraham is known throughout the world. The world religions of Judaism, Christianity, and even Islam consider Abraham a great person of faith who was obedient to God. Try to criticize Abraham in a room full of Christians or in a Sunday school class. See what happens. You know, Abraham just believed that God would do what he said when he said, "I will make your name great." He believed in a God who has no limits, a God who created a universe that's still expanding. That travel to different galaxies takes light years, and that's the nearest galaxy. The eternal God who has no beginning and no end, the Alpha, the Omega, our Creator. He's holy, he's perfect in every way. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. God said to Abraham, "You will be a blessing." You know, almost everyone wants God on their side. Even those that aren't religious, they may never come to church. They really want God on their side. They want God to smile on them. And yet hardship sometimes comes our way, and we say to ourselves, at least sometimes out loud, "Well, I don't feel blessed." However, your feelings do not change the fact that God continues to bless you even during difficult times. You may not feel blessed when the stack of bills is so high that you can't see over it. But I ask you, did you go hungry? You may not feel blessed when your health declines and you're sick and you're in pain. You may not feel blessed when your car breaks down. But your feelings do not change the fact that God blesses us and he provides for our every need. Just last month, school was out. Next month, school will begin. And this was the very first week of class in elementary school when they were having an English lesson. And the teacher wrote on the board, "I ain't had much fun this summer." "Class, how do you correct it?" Little boy raised his hand. He said, "Miss Jones, you can correct it by getting a boyfriend." So much for that grammar lesson. God wants to bless us. We do feel blessed, however, when a person asks, how can I become a Christian? Or when a person tells you they've confessed their sin against God and they want to get right with God and receive His forgiveness. We are blessed by God to help others. Abram was blessed by the king of Salem, Melchizedek, by giving a tithe, 10%. That's in Genesis chapter 14. It reminds me of a story of two men that went fishing. One was a little bit younger than the other one, and they went out into the ocean. And the younger man was at the helm. He was steering the boat. And as young people so often do, he started showing off. And while showing off, it threw him and the older man into the ocean, and the boat kept right on going. Well, they saw land nearby, so they swam to shore. And after they rested from the swim, it appeared that they were on a very small island and that it was deserted. So the young man said, look, to his older friend, look, you go that way, I'm going this way. Your way's shorter than mine because you're older than me. I'm going this way, see if we can find anybody in hopes there might be a dwelling there or somebody may be there. So the young man walked there and came back, and he saw the older man from the distance sitting underneath the tree. And he said, what are you doing? He said, my pastor will find me. And he said, what? What are you talking about? We didn't have time to do an SOS. They don't know our GPS coordinates. We have no idea where we are. They have no idea where we are. So why are you saying your pastor will find you? And the older man simply said, my pastor will find me. He said, well, what makes you so sure your pastor is going to come out here and find you? He said, well, it's really quite simple. You see, I go to church every week. I make $10,000 every week. And I believe in tithing. My pastor will find me. We're also to bless others by kindness, sincere compliments. We feel blessed when a person thanks you and you're the Sunday school teacher. We feel blessed when our family gathers together and we all get along. My mother-in-law, and I've thought about this many times, and appreciate that, Elder Dare Williams, used to pray about that daily. Quote, I just pray that we all get along. We are blessed by God to help others by encouraging others. We are blessed by God to provide a listening ear, to have interest in others and the burdens they carry, to practice the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We are blessed to help others. One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence from North Carolina was a man by the name of Joseph Hughes. At the beginning of the year in 1776, Hughes was appointed as the new Secretary of the Naval Affairs Committee. John Adams often said that Hughes, quote, laid the foundation, the cornerstone of the American Navy, unquote. Hughes was initially faced with a very ill-equipped Navy of which to fight the most powerful force and Navy in the world, the British Navy. To remedy this, he provided his own extensive fleet of ships, outfitted them, chose the most capable of men to run these ships, and we think of John Paul Jones when we think of the Revolutionary War, one of those great captains. And Hughes was instrumental in providing him a command. Hughes served in this capacity until 1779, the year of his death. We are blessed to help others. God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. This was to Abraham and his descendants. You ever notice how much the world hates the Jew? Did you notice how much Hitler hated the Jews? Why? What have they done wrong? And yet, the world and the devil hates God's people because they are chosen by God. We are chosen by God and living by faith. God will bless those who bless God's people. A Christian has an obligation to love all people, the Jew and the nation of Israel. I'm reminded of the song sometimes sung in Vacation Bible School, Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. God said to Abraham, whoever curses you, I will curse. There's no room for prejudice when we're following God in His way. If you're taught wrong, you can change that. Columbus was taught the world is flat. If you're prejudiced against the Jew, you better eliminate it. Ask God's forgiveness. God will change your heart. He will cut the prejudice out of your heart. God said to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This blessing would be through Abraham and his descendants. God has blessed America. God has blessed the United States of America because we believe in God. We also believe in the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. All citizens and even non-citizens have the right and privilege to worship as they please. And the United States is a nation of immigrants, all except the Native Americans, or at least our ancestors were. I believe that God has blessed the United States because the United States blesses Israel and its people. We're very clear that the United States and Israel are the closest of friends. At the last presidential election, I know some people who made their decision on whom to elect based on which candidate they thought would be the friendliest toward Israel. Therefore, let us pray for the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Let us pray for Israel's leaders and its government. Israel, the free world, and the United States are busy fighting terrorists every day. The terrorist desires to stop all freedoms. They ultimately want to destroy Israel and the United States. And by the way, Iran, on more than one occasion, had said that their desire is to destroy Israel, whom they call Satan, and the United States, whom they call the great Satan. And they've said that on numerous occasions. And the terrorists want to kill every man, woman, and child. And that's hard for me to believe. I was a military man, still am, I guess, although I'm a retiree. However, the American military is standing in the way, for the American military is willing to serve their country and preserve our freedoms. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Abraham received the call of God. It's a clear command from God. By faith, to start packing your suitcase. And Abraham was obedient, and he lived by faith. Our ancestors believed that they were called to start a new nation under God. In the Declaration of Independence, God is included in the first and last paragraphs and throughout the document. Millions of men and women have served their country in the United States military, the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, the Navy, and Marines. They believe in the freedoms mentioned in the Declaration of Independence and have defended their freedoms and continue to defend those freedoms. God told Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. He also said he would make his name great, as three world religions consider the name of Abraham as great. Abraham did become a blessing. What a great person to follow. He lived by faith. God also wants to bless all of us, his children. He wants to make you great, your character great, to develop us to be his people, to show his true nature. The sign is so true. Be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. As we are obedient to God, we are living by faith. God wants us to bless others. Therefore, give freely. Bless freely, because God has given so graciously to us in the United States.